We are glad that all of you are here. We appreciate your presence very much. If you're visiting with us, we are glad that you are here this morning and hope you'll come back anytime that you get an opportunity. The book of Psalms is one of the most beautiful books in the entirety of the Bible. In fact, it is a very unique book because it is the only book wherein man speaks to God rather than God speaking to man. This book is so popular that even though it's an Old Testament book, almost every New Testament contains the Psalms in the back of it. Now, some also put the book of Proverbs because it too is a popular book, but every New Testament has the Psalms listed in the back. In the book of Psalms, the psalmists, and notice that we put the word S on that word, the psalmists praise God. In fact, that little word psalm can be translated as praise unto the Almighty God. There are several different authors of the Psalms. We have one psalm that was written by Moses, or at least the Jews believed it to be written by Moses, that's Psalm 90. We have some psalms that are written by Solomon and others. We even have some psalms that are anonymous. In fact, probably the bulk of the psalms are anonymous. We do not know who the authors are, but David is the one who is attributed to have written the entirety of the book, isn't he? We say, who wrote the psalms? Everyone will respond, David did. Why? Because he was the sweet singer of Israel and composed a multitude of psalms. This morning our attention is going to be drawn to Psalm, the 8th chapter. David begins this particular psalm and he ends this psalm with praise unto God. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has what? Set thy glory above the heavens. He repeats almost that exact same statement in verse 9. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Sandwiched in between those two verses are seven verses wherein David gives his reason for praising God in this psalm. Now notice I have that little word S in parentheses. We could say there is one cause found in these verses, and it very simply is this: man causes David to praise God. But there are numerous reasons found within man that causes David to lift up his voice in honor to the Almighty. And we're going to be looking at those four reasons in the remainder of this lesson. Point number one, David says that man is a babe who can be very strong. Verse 2. Listen to what he says. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. Sometimes we take that verse and we just lift it out of its context and make it say something that David never intended for it to say. Let me give you an illustration. Do children sometimes say some things that are pretty intelligent? Do they sometimes say some things that are pretty smart? Do they say some things that have some lasting lessons for adults? Absolutely. And the very moment that we hear a child say that, many times individuals will say something like this: oh, out of the mouth of babes, don't we? And we've probably all done that. And we go right to this verse: out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. However, here's the question: is that, in the context, really what David is talking about? I find it interesting as you look at this verse that there are two important elements that are found in it. Notice that David references enemies, the enemy, and the avenger, doesn't he? He's talking about individuals who are opposed to humanity. And notice also he mentions the word strength. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou what? Ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mayest still the enemy and the avenger. Folks, David is contemplating how God can use a weak, frail individual to accomplish unbelievable things, not through the strength of man, but through the strength of God. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. And isn't David a prime example of exactly what we're talking about? Over and over and over in the life of David, there is manifested strength, not of his own strength, but through the strength of God. And he talks about it on numerous occasions. He said, there was a time when I was tending my father's sheep, and I killed a lion, and I killed a bear. How could a little shepherd lad destroy such mighty animals, except it be by the hand of God? Sometime go to the zoo and just walk up to those massive lions. Well, I tell you what, just jump in the cage with them and see what you can do with one of them big old things. Guys, let me tell you something. They're huge animals. They're massive animals. They're strong animals, are they not? And yet David was able to kill that thing. He was able to kill a bear. Here's that same shepherd lad. He also walks to a field of battle wherein the Philistines are there, some of those violent, ruthless enemies of the people of God. And a giant of a man is intimidating the armies of Israel. And what does David say? Let me at him. And on that occasion, he fell that giant, didn't he? With a sling and one smooth stone. Nothing but a child, a babe. And yet the strength of God shined through him. Because of that, he was exalted to a position of captain of the forces of Saul. And the Bible says that David went in and out. He was constantly leaving the city of Jerusalem, going to battle. And guess what? He had many victories over the Philistine armies as he returned to the city. How? By the power of God. He even fought against the old enemy by the name of Saul, did he not? The king himself. Saul despised David. Chased after him. Over and over and over and over again. And twice David had opportunity to kill him and refused to kill him because he was the anointed one of God. And yet David prevailed. Unbelievable. There's a lot more examples that we could talk about with regard to man's strength through the power of God. We studied in a Bible class on one occasion the life of Gideon, didn't we? How God reduced Gideon's army to 300, and yet he overthrew the mighty forces of the Midianites. What about Samson? Samson had his head shaved. He was arrested by the Philistines. Had his eyes put out. And yet there in the temple of Dagon, he prays unto the Almighty God for strength, doesn't he? They place him against the giant pillars in that temple, and he causes them to come crashing down, destroying the Philistines. The Bible says he destroyed more in his death than he did even in his life. How does a blind man do that? By the power of God. Remember Jonathan, the armor bearer, and his armor bearer? Those two men went up to a garrison of the Philistines, and two men fought against those individuals and won on that particular occasion. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mayest still the enemy and the avenger. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. My friends, our God can do mighty and powerful things through us. Not because we are powerful. We're weak, aren't we? And we are frail, and yet God working through us can do wonderful things. Secondly, man is one who just really doesn't even compare. He talks about that in verses 3 and 4. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and stars which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Wow. David didn't have modern science at his disposal. David didn't have modern technology at his disposal. He didn't have telescopes. He didn't have a Hubble telescope for certain. And yet when he looked up into the skies, he was amazed at what he saw with what? At what he saw with his human eyes. What did he see? He saw the sun, the moon, and the stars. And he thought about them. When I consider what? Thy heaven, the work of thy fingers, the moon and stars which thou hast ordained. I wonder how many nights David, as a shepherd, once he got those sheep settled in the sheepfold, just leaned back and looked into the stars of heaven. And every time he gazed into the depth of those stars, he was amazed by the power and the might of God, was he not? You see, the ancients knew a little something about the heavens. You turn to Amos 5 and verse 8. And even Amos talks about, seek him that what? That maketh the seven stars and Orion, one of the constellations found in the heavens. You see, they were amazed by what they saw up there. Now here's something interesting. We know more about the heavens than David ever knew, don't we? We can just start with the sun. We know that the sun is 93 million miles away from the earth. I don't know about you, that's a long trip. I can just see putting some kids on that rocket ship. When are we going to get there? Are we almost there? It'd be a killer, would it not? The mass of the sun, it's unbelievable. Just the diameter of the sun itself is 865,000 miles, the diameter. If we were going to take the earth and make something as large as the sun, it would take 330,000 earths to make the size of the sun. Unbelievable, is it not? What about the temperature of that thing? It's unbelievable. The core temperature is 27 million degrees Fahrenheit. Gil needs that for his coffee. The surface of that, 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Just the surface. It takes 8 minutes, just 8 minutes, for a light ray from the sun to reach the earth. Unbelievable, is it not? And yet that sun is absolutely vital to all human life on earth, isn't it? What about the galaxies? Heard Kevin praying a while ago and he almost stole my thunder. I said, what did he do? Read my lesson? Goodness gracious. The galaxies. Folks, the Hubble Extreme Depth Telescope has gone out into space, and guess what? It has revealed 5,500 galaxies. In other words, that's all we know exist. Now, I've got a picture there, and each one of those is a picture of a different galaxy, and that doesn't even begin to touch the number 5,500. Here's what's interesting. That Hubble telescope has only seen 1/32 millionth of space. Now you go home and you do some ciphering and see how little we know about the galaxies. In his prayer, Kevin said that the scientists say, and some do, there may be as many as 2 trillion galaxies. The number I found was 1 trillion. I can't count to 1 trillion. I have to take my shoes off to count above 10. 1 trillion. We're not talking about stars, folks. We're talking about 1 trillion galaxies like the Milky Way. Here's something that's interesting. Our sun revolves in the Milky Way. Do you know how long it takes it to make one revolution? You ready? 230 million years. It has never made a revolution around the galaxy. Unbelievable. We know a little something about constellations, don't we? My brother, he gave me an app. I forget what the name of it is, but you can download this app and go to it, and you can just take your phone and just put it up in the sky, and it will show you and trace out the constellation that's up there. It's the coolest thing I've ever seen. Just move around the sky like this, and you just pick up different constellations. Great app. Great app. There are 88 official constellations that we know about that scientists can look up there and they can say, well, look at there. There is the Big Dipper. There is the Little Dipper. There is Orion. And on the list goes, doesn't it? The sun. The galaxies. The stars. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Are you ready for this? And yet he is, isn't he? God cares about us. We're small. We're just frail individuals. If you don't believe that, go out and stump your toe. Put you down for a week. We're temporal in nature. We're not going to live forever. And guess what? We're sinful creatures. And yet God loves, cares, appreciates, provides, protects, and longs to have fellowship with us. David couldn't believe it. You're a being with whom there is no comparison. I can just look into the skies and see that. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And yet he knew that he was. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Thirdly, man is an exalted creature, is he not? Look at verse 5. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Man is just a little lower than who? Angels. Anybody ever seen an angel? I've never seen an angel. I've read about angels, haven't you, in the pages of God's Word? And when I read about those angels, I come away thinking this, my, that is one impressive creature, isn't he? When you and I think of angels, don't you think of exalted beings? Yes, I realize they are created, but they are exalted, aren't they? They are spirit beings. They don't have flesh and bone like we do, and they can manifest themselves in any form God desires of them. Fire, wind, even as a human being. I can't do that, but they can. These angels about which we speak have supreme knowledge, do they not? Here are beings who are literally around the throne of the living God. They are able to look on the Almighty. They have knowledge that you and I don't have. They are aware oftentimes of God's plans and help Him to carry those plans out. They are powerful creatures, aren't they? Remember the big stone laid upon the tomb of Jesus? The women were walking down to that tomb and they wondered, how in the world are we going to be able to move this stone? They get down there, the stone's already moved away, and guess what? Two angels were there. Shoop, let's just push this little stone aside. Powerful creatures. They're holy, aren't they? The ones that are of God. They have no sin and iniquity. And they're ministers of God. As we said, operating in His presence, doing His will at God's command. When I think of an angel, I think, wow, what a creature. And yet David says, what? You and me, we're just a little lower. Underline the word little. We're just a little lower than angels. Look at this. Another way to say it is this. Just barely lower than an angel. Man. In the book of Revelation that we've been studying on Wednesday night, we're in chapter 22. And we came across a verse where John is so overwhelmed at the things that he sees. And he's so overwhelmed at the things that he hears that he falls down at the feet of that angel and he begins to worship the angel. And the angel immediately tells him, don't do that. And he gives him reasons why. Revelation 22:9. Then saith the angel unto me, see thou do it not. Three reasons. Number one, for I am thy fellow servant. You see, angels know we're created beings just like man is. And we are just the servants of God just like man is. There's no difference between, not that much difference between us. Notice secondly, he says this, and of thy brethren the prophets. Angels carry out the same kind of work that, watch this, man does. In the revelation, was John a prophet of God? Oh, yes. He was receiving divine revelation. He was writing that revelation down, was he not? And he was speaking forth the words of God about things that were to come in the near future of that day. They're prophets just like men are prophets. And notice he says this, we are of them that what? Keep the sayings of this book. We are creatures who have to obey God just like you do. Now think about that. They're servants, they're prophets, and they're obedient to God just like who? Just like the faithful of God. Here John is prostrating before an angel. And what does he say? See thou do it not. Worship God. He's the only being worthy of our admiration. But notice David also says this. God has crowned man with glory and honor. Man is a part of the creation of the world, aren't we? Sadly, there are many individuals who just look upon us as just another animal. Let me tell you something, folks. We ain't just another animal. Bad English, but it's true. We are different from all the rest of the creation, are we not? Man is unique in that he has been made in the image and likeness of God. Genesis 1, verse 27. Notice what the text says. So God created man in His image. In the image of God made He him. Male and female created He them. James says in James 3 verse 9 that man was created in the similitude of God. Wow. It's a powerful statement, is it not? When you see a man, you see somebody who resembles God. In many respects, it's unbelievable. Fourth point about man is this. God has made him ruler over the animal kingdom. Thou madest him to have dominion over what? Over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen and the beast of the field. The fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. Notice the words. Thou hast given him dominion over. That little word dominion means this, to have control, to have rule, to have power over. There are a lot of individuals today who think it's cruel if we take animals and do anything to them other than just let them live and eat, don't they? Folks, God gave us animals. He gave them as gifts to us. And then He commands man to do what? You have dominion, rule, control over those beasts. And I find it interesting that they were created in such a way that man can dominate them and be benefited by them. Can't we? You start talking about things like fur, skin. When I talk about skin, I'm talking about the skin of a cow, leather. Anybody wearing leather? Might want to look at your shoes, your belts, feathers. Individuals use those. The fat of an animal, the muscles of an animal, the senses of an animal. Every one of those can be used by man, can't? And we do. And I got to thinking about how do animals benefit us? And I wrote down 10 things. Number one, work animals. Sometimes we take yokes and put them upon oxen, and those oxen toil and they labor all day long plowing fields, or at least they used to, did they not? In some places, they still do. Oh, those people are being cruel to those animals. No. That's why they were created. That's why God gave them to man, for us to benefit and profit and use them. We have animals also that are pack animals, do we not? I found this picture. I thought it was pretty good. That's a little donkey. Look at that big old bag on the back of that animal. They can carry weights that man could never, never carry. They can carry weights that are many times their own weight. Why? Because of their four legs and the great muscles that they possess. And they can carry it for miles on end. God provided animals for sacrifice in the Old Testament, did He not? You go back and you read about how often an animal had to be offered unto the Almighty God. You go back and you read where some of the ceremonies were carried out on a day and how many thousands of animals were offered in sacrifice unto God. Cruelty, mean, unloving. No, those animals were created for man and for our benefit. They provide food, don't they? About to get you hungry now. Chicken. That's good, isn't it? Now, I know we don't respect chickens very much, but they are birds, aren't they? And I bet you there's a lot of you in this audience who have eaten a bunch of chicken. You know what? And you've wiped a lot of grease off those lips after eating that chicken. But they're beneficial to us, aren't they? They provide us with clothing, the sheep's wool. Talking to Emily when she came in, I said, "Boy, you're bright and red this morning." She said, "Yeah, wool, so I won't freeze to death in here." Wool keeps us warm, doesn't it? They provide us with transportation, don't they? I love this picture. See, you thought I was going to put a horse up there or something, didn't you? No, there's some people who are transported by elephant. How'd you like to have an elephant in your backyard? You know? Psst, Jim, come here. Let me saddle you up. Riding through town, that'd be unbelievable, wouldn't it? They give us companionship. This is where most of us appreciate animals, isn't it? I love that picture. That little dog just sitting there by his master. Little companionship. They also provide us with competition, don't they? Individuals put dogs in competition. They put all kinds of animals in competition. Horses in competition to one another. Rodeos, all kinds of things that are out there, aren't there? Those animals are for our benefit, for our enjoyment, for our pleasure. And we control them and we train them to do what needs to be done, don't we? Got a man down at the gym. He's about 76, years old, and his daughter trains animals to run barrels. She'll buy them just as wild as they can be and train those horses to barrel race. That's unbelievable, isn't it? These animals also provide us with entertainment, don't they? If I go to Orlando, guess where I'd rather go? I'd rather go to SeaWorld. That's where I'd like to go. And they train those animals to do unbelievable things, do they not? Jump through hoops, pick up people, shoot balls into baskets, splash people with their tails. It's unbelievable. And they also provide us with services, don't they? Remember a while ago I said animals have senses that can be trained? Heard of the service dogs that individuals have? There are dogs that can tell when a person's heart is murmuring. Isn't that unbelievable? They can tell when a human being is about to have a stroke. I heard of a dog who could predict almost within an hour or two the death of a human being if they were in the hospital. That'd be scary, wouldn't it? Don't bring that dog in my room. Here are all these things that we use animals for. And what did David say? David said, God, you have given man dominion over the works of thy hands and over all the animal kingdom. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. I wanted to put this point in because I thought it was important. There are some people who ridicule creationists, that is, those who believe that God created the world about 6,000 or 7,000 years ago in six 24-hour days. They criticize us, don't they? They laugh at us for that. And one of the things that they'll ask us is this: do you believe that dinosaurs and man lived at the same time? And what do we say? Yeah, no problem. Here's one of their questions. How did man dominate those massive, ferocious animals way back then? How do we answer that? Number one, most of them were not ferocious animals. Do you know the bulk of the dinosaurs were not meat eaters? They were vegetarians. So guess what? If a man got close to them, he didn't have to worry about anything. He wasn't going to get eaten. Even if he was a huge, huge animal. And the second point is this: haven't we trained some large, massive animals that exist today? I can't believe we can train lions to jump through hoops. I can't believe we can train big old elephants to stand on their back legs and hold a ball up in the air with their long trunks. Who can train them to do that? How individuals can take great whales, killer whales, and make them do whatever they desire for them to do down at SeaWorld. Blows your mind. Guys, if we can control those kind of animals, if we can learn how to train those, individuals who live with the dinosaurs could have learned how to train those animals for their benefits, couldn't they? And they could have learned to protect themselves from the ones that were ferocious, just like man does today. God is worthy of man's praise. But I want you to see why. When man realizes who he is, it's unbelievable, isn't it? We are individuals, creatures, that God can make strong and cause to prevail against the enemy. We are individuals, creatures, who God loves, cares for, and adores, and longs to be with. He is mindful of man, and He has visited man, has He not? Man is a being who's been crowned with glory and honor, just a little bit lower than who? those magical creatures called angels. And man has been given dominion, control, over this world and over all of its creatures. Guess what? All of us in here are human beings, aren't we? Every one of us are human beings. We are unique. We are endowed. We are blessed individuals, aren't we? And my friends, when you understand who you are and how God has created you and what God has allowed you to do, we, as David, will cry out just as he did, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens." When I know who I am, I must praise the Almighty God. Wow. You think we've covered this psalm in some detail, don't you? And there's a lot of stuff we haven't even begun to talk about. You can write these down and you can study them. I find it interesting that Jesus quoted Psalm 8 verse 2 in Matthew 21 verse 16. An interesting study. We also find the Hebrew writer, he quotes the psalm as well. In Hebrews the 8th chapter, verses 4 through 8. And then there's a little phrase that's very interesting in the last part of that text, and it says this, "And whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea." David was not a Navy man. He was not a captain of a boat on the high seas. And yet David wrote about what? Things that pass through the paths of the sea. That caught the attention of someone on one occasion and caused him to discover the ocean currents that exist in all of our oceans on earth today. A lot more to study in that psalm. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Because why did God send his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary for us? Why? He didn't have to do that. He could have easily just wiped man off the face of the earth and started all over again, couldn't he? But he didn't. He chose to redeem us through the precious blood of Christ. Why? Because man is precious to God. He loves him. He adores him. He wants what's best for him, and especially his eternal salvation. And he's given us a way to do that, hasn't he? Through the precious death of Jesus on the cross. And you and I can take advantage of that by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you hear the gospel, if you're willing to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you'll not die in your sins, John 8, 24. But then we must repent, or else we'll perish, Luke 13, 3. We must stand before men and confess Jesus' name, or he'll deny us before the Father in the last day, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And then we must take that old man of sin that died in repentance and bury him in the waters of baptism, and we come forth forgiven of sin, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Romans 6, 3 and 4. Do you need to do that this morning? We pray that you will. Maybe you're an erring Christian. You've not been faithful, dedicated. Maybe there's sin in your life. Do you need to repent? As together we stand and sing.